Stay tuned to 101.5 because each month we'll bring you interesting and informative podcasts with architect Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative. Are you going in circles trying to work out whether to renovate or sell? Do you need more information about current costs to help you make the right decisions? Over the coming weeks, Stephanie is going to help us find the answers to our questions. She'll be sharing episodes from a Renovation Collaborative Season 1 podcast, Renovate or Sell. She'll be interviewing five trusted industry insiders to find out the latest information about the cost of house construction from a building cost estimator and a quantity surveyor, about the cost of houses from a real estate agent, about home loans from a mortgage broker, and about the right amount to borrow from a financial advisor. Stephanie, can you tell us what we're going to hear about today?
Absolutely. In today's episode, we get the industry insider scoop on the typical construction cost per square metre that we can expect to pay for custom new homes and renovations. And to be clear, this is for people using an architect, building designer or drafter to help them with their home design, not for project homes. We'll find out what's been driving costs up over the last few years and where they're expected to go moving forward, plus smart ways to keep our costs under control and how to know when it's better to sell. In this episode, I'm joined by highly respected building cost estimator David Knight from Total Estimating Services in Brisbane.
Good morning, David, and thanks for joining me again and sharing your knowledge with the Renovation Collaborative podcast. So the cost of house construction in Brisbane, what is going on? For anyone who's not up to speed, the construction cost for custom renovations in Brisbane is through the roof. David, can you give us a rough idea, very rough idea, of what people can expect to pay for custom renovation and new build construction in Brisbane at the moment?
Oh, tough question. I'll centre on just new custom, because they're totally due to two different builds. New customs, you know, you really, if it's a slab on ground, you know, straight roof, you're probably starting around the threes, early threes. Anything with a slope, two-storey, you know, you're going to jump to that to those fours, $4,000 a square metre. So that'll give you a rough indication. And then you've got to add your pools and, you know, if there's massive driveways or fencings and those sorts of things. You've got to measure. Also, you've got to remember that, you know, when you talk square metre rates, you've got to also include those unenclosed balconies, those unenclosed alfresco areas, the garages and those little entries at the front, because they all add up, as well as your internal area, because a lot of people sort of don't want to know about those sort of things and they sort of drill down on the cheaper option. But that only gets people into trouble. But then in renovations, we're finding you've really got to start around those early fours and really they can go to mid fives and sixes, $1,000 a square metre. Because you can have lift and builds, you can just have straight renovations, you can have a myriad of both where you're lifting up a Queenslander, you're building in underneath and out, and then there's a whole there's a two-storey building at the back, and then just a simple renovation in the middle over the existing. So if you're trying to work out, you know, globally what the square metre rate average over that is.
It's really just the new work because renovation, that's such a sliding scale, isn't it? From a paint and floor sand right through to quite comprehensive work with cabinetry and things.
Just renovating, which is, you know, paint and maybe a bathroom and a laundry, you're still looking in, you know, in those $1,000 to $1,500 a square metre with no structural changes, then the building in of downstairs and the building of the two stories out the back, you know, that could be higher than $4,000 to $5,000 a square metre because of what you're doing internally.
Yes.
When you average it all out.
I have to say some of those square metre rates were lower, and maybe it's because I work in inner Brisbane, always renovations, and I find they're usually, in my experience, for the most basic mid-range architecture, it's more the finished price, including GSTs, around about $5,200 for like a basic.
Well, I go back to the problem of square metre rates because we are only talking about the house.
So when you say
you could
only
spend $150,000 on pool retaining walls, automatically that's got to feed back into a 300 square metre.
It does because that's right. That's interesting. And because, you know, you think of retaining walls to do with potentially landscaping, but it's not. It's actually setting up the site and getting the ground level so you can, you know, build up on, you know, that's whatever you're doing to prep that site. That's really interesting. And I think that was very interesting there for me, because I'm always doing these two-story renovations. That slab on ground, simple building is going to be so much more cost-effective. So that would be simple slab on ground with potentially a truss roof, not a skillion roof.
That's right. You can't really compare it to project housing, but you can still get project homes built for $2,500, $3,000 a square metre.
Yes.
So that'll give you an indication that, yes, that's their advertising rate. You'll never sign a contract to that,
yes,
as we all know. But it'll give you some surety that there's nothing cheaper than that, but it's around that for very simple construction. But in Brisbane, because they're all infill sites.
And that's right, and they're all in Brisbane.
Nothing is simple.
And there's nothing flat, and the access is not great, yeah.
No. So that's why I go back to the fact, yes, the square metre rates that I mentioned are right for the intimate form of that house, but it's everything outside that pumps the price up.
So for people who don't understand, and just to get a bit more of a handle on what those numbers are and what they mean, square metre rates, can we just jump back a bit? And can you just tell us what those square metre rates are in terms of sort of where they come from, what do they include? Include GST? Is it totally finished, or what is that?
Yeah, well, for my mind, the sooner we stop using square metre rates, the better.
Yeah.
But because it only gets people into trouble, I find. But primarily when people talk square metre rates, they're really only talking about the fabric of the building.
Yes.
Inclusive of GST. But when push comes to shove, that may not include GST. Because it is such a there's so many variables in this business of renovating and in new builds as well. It's just diabolical.
Yes.
To try and hang your hat on it.
And I think with square meter rates, for me, I just find it a way of just putting some information against a design or a building about price, because I find that people have nothing to go on. And often, I'm presented with a plan or some ideas that someone has and they've just got no idea. And so it's just a way of saying, this is probably going to be within this range. And so that's, for me, that's why they're so useful. And so you've just touched on this already, but there are different levels of building quality. So as an architect, I'm usually dealing with, I talk about mid-range quality, so not super high-end, but good, just mid-range good quality. So can you just give me a bit more information? So then you've got project homes and they're costed independently by a project, the design company, whoever does those. But I know there's sort of a spectrum of costs in there. So what are you're predominantly dealing with that sort of mid-range to the higher end. And what is the difference in the build? Because everyone says, well, how can it be five? They're getting 3,000. How can I be getting 5,000? What is the difference in the build?
Look, without,
generally
putting too much against the poor old project builders, because they've had a pretty rough trot of late, they are totally different builds. You will find the better builder that's got 6 months to 12 months worth of work in front of him just will build it better. And that might be a fairly broad statement, but when we go and have a look at certain projects, I can see and feel the difference between a project level house and something that's custom built by a builder that might only do 3 or 4 a year. So that's not to say that the project house is substandard. It just means that the builder who's doing those 4 or 5 homes a year, totally reliant on word of mouth for his business,
yes,
is far more attuned to making sure
the quality is right.
And when you're dealing with those properties, the joinery is bespoke compared to laminated kitchens and that are basically boxes that come out with laminated doors on top, as opposed to really thought out joinery conditions. And all of the thinking that's got to be put into the setting out even of those houses compared to a project house is more than double.
And I find that's funny you saying that, because it always makes me think about architecture, which is like every project is a prototype. which is just crazy. Like different site, different client, different, well, sometimes same builder, sometimes same project team, different design, different materials, like everything. It's like, it's remarkable that they all get pulled off. Like it's a prototype. It's crazy.
It is. Like we price between, when we did the numbers that we were quite interested to find out that on average we're pricing $40 to $45 million worth of work a month in Brisbane.
Yes.
In residential.
Yes.
Mostly renovation, mostly architectural. And people will say, well, you must have an idea of what things cost. I said, I do, but we need to sit down and talk about it. Not, I can't, it's so hard to even, with our knowledge, provide square meter rates.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Which you would think, no, that's, you know, you should know better than that.
And I think, I mean, one of the other things that I know about the difference, some basic things in architecture, like, so you can have a floor compared to like project homes, you can have a floor plan and it may appear the same on the floor plan, although the architect's plans may be slightly larger to do with needs or whatever. The ceiling will be higher, which won't show in a floor plan, whether it's a trust roof, whether it's a skillion roof. And I think those, you know, the height of door head heights, you know, is it 2100, is it 24, is it 27? Mm. So all of these things that add to the value, things like doors, hollow core or solid core, they all appear the same on the surface. They may appear the same in a plan. You know, 70 studs or 90 studs.
It's more than double the price.
Yeah, yeah.
You compare a hollow core door to a solid core with a little bit of rebate in it. From your mainstream manufacturers like Corinthian.
Yes.
But they're more than twice the price, three, four times the price.
And also I think like sliding door manufacturers, they're quite different. The level of, it's a sliding door, but like one brand is very different to another brand and different in quality and different in price and different in longevity. So I think, you know, so many things that, which is validating what you're saying, like how can you just look at that and put a square meter rate on it?
It's just impossible.
Yeah. We're talking about the square meter rates of construction within Brisbane. How about outside Brisbane, just in southeast Queensland, so Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Ipswich, sort of Toowoomba, that sort of regional area. Is that similar in price to Brisbane, or what are the variations?
You'll probably find it's a little bit cheaper for labour when you go a bit more regional.
Yeah.
But then the cost of getting gear there outweighs it. There's very little difference in price, I believe, between Sunny Coast, the Gold Coast and Ipswich.
Oh, okay.
Toowoomba will have a different price level because of that cartage factor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Being slightly higher, potentially.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Oh, but, right.
Oh, yeah. So things are marginally dearer up there. When you're talking block work and those heavy steel that comes up from down here. But primarily the cost of labour is the same in southeast Queensland around that. When you go, you know, even northern New South Wales, we do a lot of work in northern New South Wales, a lot of renovation work down there on those fairly big houses. And, the feedback that I'm getting is it's much the same.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, we're sort of getting up to Sydney prices. We've sort of reached that last year, which is not good.
No,
because it's, you know, Brisbane really between, you know, the early tens to, you know, just before COVID, we didn't worry about cost escalation.
No.
Ever. It wasn't something that was discussed. But, you know, 21 came along and we saw everything going nuts. And really, you know, when we compare jobs, you know, they're 40 to 50% difference between, you know, the 2020s and the 2024s.
I know. I remember when COVID started and everyone just went, what's going to happen? And we all thought it was going to go down and then suddenly it just all went up. And it just didn't stop. And I think that was one of my other questions for you. I mean, what are you seeing as the influences that are affecting that? I certainly know, you know, talking to builders, they're talking about, you know, accessing concrete due to the other big buildings happening in the city. You know, they might have had concrete turn up on site in 2 days after ordering it. Now it might be 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
Last year it was absolute mayhem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you couldn't. The bigger companies were just putting in fake orders, to be quite honest.
To cover what they needed. Wow.
So, and then the poor builders who needed, you know, 20 or 30 cubes for a full slab would be, sorry, we can't, we don't have any today.
Yes.
Or in a week's time we don't have any because it's booked out.
And so what other influences are you seeing and sort of going forward? Because I know things about the Olympics and those buildings, that big infrastructure coming together.
The big infrastructure will certainly put a strain. I also believe that where we're in that niche market of those builders who are doing custom work have a range of trades to use, those trades aren't going in and digging a hole in the tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, they might be in there doing some painting, but, you know, we don't have, you know, the ceramic tiler who has two in his team are not going to be in there doing a high rise.
Oh, I see.
They're not going to be in there doing the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be panicking that much. I think it'll certainly have an issue with, these words that get bandied about supply chains and all those sorts of things. They impact for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, they impact for sure. But supply, it hasn't been an issue, yeah.
Knowing that construction costs are so high, can you give us any suggestions of ways to try to keep the costs under control? So potentially when you look at some plans, and I know that's, you know, the first thing, so you do an estimate on a job and then the client, albeit the architect, comes back to you and goes, now what would you suggest to get the price down here? What sorts of things are you looking at? And I know one of the things for me was like, you know, you'd say, well, can you change that skillion to a truss roof? Or what sorts of things like
that? I think, it depends on how far we're over on the budget. But you can look at the solution. I go back to a death by a thousand cuts. You've got to look at that joinery and go, okay, I might have to use a residential aluminium section rather than juice joinery.
Okay.
I've got to look at the sizes. It's really going back and looking at those individual items, like your skillion roof to a truss roof. A lot of renovations we see, you know, the back extension not following the form of the original house. They may cut it and have a separate building at the back with a, you know, a metre wide box gutter.
Right, yeah.
Get rid of that, you know. But it changes the architectural form dramatically. All of those things, apart from adding cost, actually add time, which is money, to the build as well.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine, you know, building a wall that's different height for the box gutter arrangement, the cost of the box gutter and the labour and the scaffolding that's needed for different heights, rather than just running the roof lines through.
Taking the roof line through is
a quicker build.
Oh, is it more cost-effective if continue to truss roof or something through?
The unfortunate thing is when we look at a $1.5 million job that's got that problem, we might only save $10,000 in the cost, but you might save a week and a half in the build.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So that's hard to put more of a dollar figure on. We then would change what we believe the supervision might be on that project accordingly. So, that's not a lot of money. I'm not going to worry about that. But you've got to do that 10 times.
Yeah, you do.
And you find 100,000.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because there's no quick fix.
And so typically high cost items that I find, painting, I was going to say, which can be a surprising one, which, you know, because people used to say, oh, just get it painted, it'll be fine. And suddenly now, like, it's like $100,000 to paint the whole inside and outside of a big house.
I also think we're doing different jobs than we were doing 10 years ago. Like, the jobs that we see now are where you've got a 100-year-old house that's full of lead paint that needs totally stripping back. You know, yes, you're spending on a 100-square-metre floor plate, two-bed cottage, 20 grand, 25 grand, and that's not painting anything else. So, but the square metre rate per se for painting really has only gone up materially probably only by 20% in the last 4 years. So it's not, I think the problem with painting, taking that outside, is that people have never understood the scope initially to what they needed or wanted. I don't believe the price, don't get me wrong, the last 2 years there's been some crazy prices coming out. That's why you probably need a trusted cost estimator to find out what we think the true value is.
What's appropriate, yes.
Yeah, because, there's been horror stories. But the people that I know in the industry and the painters that I know in the industry, you know, everything has gone up in price. Paint, cost of paint is phenomenal compared to what it used to be.
Mm.
The labour has gone up marginally.
Mm.
So, again, it's finding out the right number.
Okay. So in summary to that, there's not, I suppose that's just a case by case of talking to your cost estimator and just trying to find items that possibly they can be.
Yeah, reality.
Where there's flexibility in them. Because I had like painting windows, which you mentioned before as joinery. So if you had timber windows, possibly having aluminium windows instead, looking at your cabinetry, looking at different ways to do that, different materials possibly, and block retaining walls, whether they were block, whether they were concrete sleeper or sandstone or something, different ways.
Don't use timber, and people think concrete's cheaper, sleepers, but they're basically the same price as a block wall.
Oh, okay.
So you're better off sticking to block work.
Getting the better quality. Mm. What has changed over time? I know that timber costs have gone up substantially. Timber used to be the cheap thing that you'd throw at things, and now it's become very expensive. Hardwood and things have become very expensive.
The majority of the pine framing and the pine framing has come back in price. Your manufactured timbers like your LVLs and TASBEAMs, they're still pretty pricey, comparable to steel. Your hardwoods, because we've got less and less.
Yes, that's right.
Getting to choose from, you know, you'll pay for 100 by 38, you know, a dressed piece of black butt, $35 a lineal metre.
And are there any savings using things from like recycled hardwood, you know, from places like the Big Red Shed, things like that. So a big question I often get when people have got a block with an old house on it that can potentially be knocked down, which isn't always the case in a Brisbane, in traditional character areas, but is it more cost-effective to renovate or is it more cost-effective to demolish and build new? And I know that's a really big question, but generally, do you sort of have a take on that? I mean, obviously there's costs in removing the house and taking it away, so it depends on what sort of house it is and the costs of that.
I believe you'll end up with the same cost result. The benefit of, there's benefits and pluses and minuses with both. I've been down the track where we've bought a house and we're going to renovate it. We've done the budget. I'm going for $150,000 more on this budget. We can get rid of it and build a bigger home.
Mm.
Because you've got to remember when you're stuck within the confines of the original house to a degree, but with a, you know, we found that we were able to basically get better bucks per bang because we were able to build a bigger house where you would normally, you know, because the expense of the extensions, because everything is dearer when you build an extension. For argument's sake, the framework that goes in between your steel columns if you lift the house up, the labour to is twice that than it is to build a new house.
Because they're just building it, whereas otherwise you're fitting everything
every piece of timber's got to be cut separately. So it's the labour, you know, being probably conservative at double. And that's why extensions and renovations are so dear.
And
so
it is. Dearer. And I have, like, in recent years, I've said to people, look, the cost of construction is just so high. The site has to be really worth renovating. And the bones of the house itself, which is what you're saying now. Like if the floor plan layout is really tricky, if the room sizes aren't great and you've got a renovation, that's what you're dealing with. Whereas if, you know, if the ceiling height's low and there's just constraints everywhere you look at it, then you're better off rather than having to move all these walls and change all the windows.
And especially if when you come across things that you haven't allowed for in that renovation, where I've done lift and build myself and we believe that we'll be able to achieve just new framing here and there, and we've had to remove the entire cladding out of the house
on the outside. Asbestos or something.
There was asbestos, which we knew we were able to calculate that early. But the you know, you put a window in that wall, but all of a sudden the cladding around that is not good.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, a lot of these things are over 100 years old now.
That's right.
So before you take that board off, you all of a sudden, you know, and they don't call it the light timber framing code for nothing. You've got to put a fair bit of timber back in nowadays to make everything work. So, you know, those things, the argument of knocking down and rebuilding is very strong. But when you're in the character, like the majority of Brisbane,
you don't have a choice.
It's impossible.
So for anyone, which I think is very topical now, for anyone including environmental initiatives such as passive house with double glazing or building ceiling, all of those types of things. Other things about going off grid, tanks, different sewage systems, things like that. What sort of costs, and I've just thrown a lot of different things at you there, but what sort of costs to adding, well, let's start with passive house. What sorts of costs would adding that to your house?
It is a very tough question. The glazing, the difference in the glazing can be 25%, yeah. Easy, very easily.
And I suppose I should say, environmental initiatives like passive house or other things, the double glazed windows, are you seeing those more commonly or you're just not seeing them at all?
We're not seeing them at all.
Yeah.
And we do all bespoke residential estimating. Mm. And we're mainly looking at, you know, stories to provide that sort of information to people. I don't think we've seen, even the new NCC rules are still not dribbling through on the plans.
What about things like three-phase power, things like that for car charging and...
The car charging is pretty economical.
Yeah.
The batteries, I believe, are still not up to scratch. The solar is important, but again, the life cycle of your battery and your solar, if you did the numbers, I don't think it'd be, it's really touch and go.
Batteries really. Yeah.
Until those prices are less than half, I think it's problematic. But three-phase power supply, the only thing to worry about then is making the call very, very early to Energex, because it can take 6 to 8 months to get, three-phase into your property.
Oh, okay.
Depending on if it's a existing property because of the timing that they need.
And but as for adding that, which is just extra power from the street to your property, that's how does that look for the costs of installation of that? Is that much different or...?
If you've got a lot of houses that do that, have got a meter box at the front, it might be 10 or 15 years old, it's got to be pulled out and a new one put in there. So then the... might be a three-phase overhead line, which is only probably $1,200 to get it over to your house.
Mm.
But then it's all of the sub-mains that the electrician's got to do to get it to the meter box and then get all the new cabling back into the house. So you're talking totally probably between $5,000 and $7,500, depending where that meter box is in your home.
It very much depends with the renovation. Mm. Okay, that's really interesting. So looking forward now, my last question... how have construction costs grown over the last couple of years? And based on your knowledge of the industry, what growth are you anticipating over the next 12 months? No one's going to hold you to this. It's crystal ball stuff. It's really hard to call. But just based on the influences you're seeing, where do you think things are growing from where they've been?
Yeah, well, we were allowing 1% per month cost escalation last year. We've pulled that back to 0.5.
And so you were allowing that last month. How did that sort of pan out?
Well, nobody's ringing me up and abusing me, so that's
so
a good thing.
It's on the money.
Whether or not they've taken the advice and allowed for it in their budget is another thing, because we don't know how long it's going to be until they get into the ground when we do something. So we'll give them a per month budget to work with. So hopefully they'll take that information and they'll add 6 months with cost escalation onto their job. But from that end of 21 period to the end of last year, it was really 40 to 50% on average, a job went up.
It was incredible, absolutely incredible.
Now, some of those numbers have been pulled back a bit, and I think they'll still, some will drop, but overall things will be higher because you've got, just even the stuff that's coming from Europe still got to go the long way now. They can't go through the Gulf. So there's lots of those little things that are still impacting on those terrible words, the supply chains, those sorts of things, white goods, imported tiles. The impact of the games on the infrastructure will play on your steel pricings and your concrete pricings. It won't factor roof prices. It won't harm aluminium and glazing prices.
Mm.
It won't really affect your labour too much. Yes, your concreters might and your block layers might get affected, but I don't know any, and I know a lot of people in the industry, I don't know anyone who works on those tunnels.
So So you were just saying, so you're thinking about 1% per month, say. So here we are in about June, so we're saying going up possibly around 6% to Christmas. Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, no, that was last year we were allowing 1%, oh, okay. But this year's 0.5 per 0.5, month. Yeah, yep. So about 6% over a year.
Yeah, okay.
Will be what I think it will be. But ring me in December and I'll tell you.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, David Knight from Total Estimating in Brisbane, for sharing your knowledge today. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me.
Wow, what a fantastic interview. So for anyone thinking of renovating, the takeaway messages from today are, number one, the costs to build custom houses and renovations in the current market range from around $3,000 per square metre through to over $6,000 per square metre. This highlights the errors that can occur using square metre rates if you're not a professional. So only use this information as a rough guide and always get professional assistance before making decisions. Point number two, there is no easy way to get costs down. It's never a few single items. It always involves making numerous small changes and reductions over many items. Point number three, in this very expensive market, it's only worth renovating houses with good bones. In other words, if your property's on a great piece of land with reasonable orientation, the room sizes are good, there's limited asbestos, the ceilings are high, and the windows and structure are in good condition. If this is not the case, then it may be better to sell. Or if the land is awesome and the local council regulations allow, then it may be feasible to demolish and build new.
Wow, you've given us all a lot to think about. Next time we move on to the next step in our renovate or sell journey, house prices. Over the next two episodes, we find out about the information that a good real estate agent can provide to help us make the right decisions about our home. Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative, thank you for joining us on Morning Magazine and keeping our community informed and connected on 101.5.